Good morning, folks. On behalf of the session and committee of the congregation of Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church, we want to bid you all welcome in the Lord's name to our morning service. My name is Jeffrey Abraham, and of course, in the midst of this lockdown, we cannot attend the church as we would love to be doing, and would love to be with you today in person in the church, but it's not possible to do so. And so we're thankful that even by this means that we can come and record a message here in our own wee church hall in Malvern Free Presbyterian Church. But we're able to come and to record this little message this morning, and through these means we can bring you to the Word of God and bring you a word of instruction and encouragement from the Scriptures. In a little moment, we're going to be reading from John chapter 4. We're going to speak of the little revival that there was in Samaria. But before we come to God's word, let us just turn briefly unto the Lord in a word of prayer, please. Let's unite our hearts together, wherever you may be. Let us unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that this Sabbath morning, Lord, we can come into thy presence. Lord, we thank thee that even though that we're not able to gather together in the way that we would wish to be in the church, Lord, still we thank thee that there's nothing to bar us from coming into the presence of God. The veil that was rent is still rent, and Lord, we can step through the veil today, and we can come into the inner sanctuary of heaven itself. We can come into the presence of God. And our Father, as we do so, Lord, we thank thee, Lord, for all thy goodness and thy mercy to us in the week that has gone by. We thank thee for every blessing that hath cometh down from above, of which we are the recipients. And O God, we lift up our hearts today, and we thank thee most of all for Calvary and for the cross. O God, we thank thee that even as we approach the Christmas season and we remember thy birth, Lord, we thank thee that Christ Jesus came into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And O God, we thank thee today that Christ has shed his blood. He has borne the penalty of our sin. He has paid the price in full. He died, and though he was buried, he rose again from the grave. And Lord, we thank thee that thou art ascended up into the glory, and even now you're at the Father's right hand. Our Father, we pray even this morning that you would come and cleanse us afresh in thy presence. Cleanse us through the precious blood of the Lamb. And O God, we pray that you would come and bless the ministry of thy word. Meet the need of every heart. We pray for those who are perhaps cast down and weary. Lord, we pray for those that are going through troublesome times. Lord, we think of even of those who, because of this old virus, are maybe laid aside in beds of sickness. But Lord, not only for those who are sick with the virus, but Lord, those that are sick in every other way. Lord, we do commend them unto thee. And we pray, thou who art the great physician, Lord, that thou will come and touch them and send the blessed comforter, even the Holy Ghost, to abide with them today. Lord, remember our wee lad. O God, we do pray that you would come. And Lord, that you would open up the eyes of men and women to their sin and to the consequences of sin. Lord, thou hast told us plainly in thy word that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And O God, we realize that our nation has turned its back upon thee. And Lord, we are in a very real sense, Lord, reaping the consequences of our sin. Open the eyes of the nation, Lord, that they might see these things. Lord, from the king or the queen upon the throne, Lord, to those who are in government, Lord, even to the people in the streets, Lord, we pray that thou would open up the eyes of each one of us, Lord, that we might see our sin, and Lord, that we might repent and turn again unto the Lord. We ask thee, our Father, that even in these dark days of coronavirus, Lord, that the light of the gospel would shine through. Lord, that the light of the world would come again. And Lord, that it illuminate, Lord, the hearts and the minds of men and women. And O God, we pray that throughout our land, Lord, that we too might see a time of spiritual blessing and revival. Hear our cry, answer our prayer, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, we ask all these things. Amen. Amen. We're turning today in God's word to John and to the chapter 4. And we're going to break into the chapter at the verse 27. And we're reading here the woman of Samaria, she has come out to the well. The disciples have gone into the city to buy the things that were needed. And in the course of their time away, this Samaritan woman has come out to the well. And there Christ is sitting at the well, and he asks her for something to drink, and he witnesses unto this woman. He tells her about her sin, her adultery. And this woman, she believes in Christ, and this woman is gloriously and wonderfully converted. She's saved. And here she's speaking with Christ, and Christ is speaking with her. And we're bringing into the chapter at the verse 27, John chapter 4, and the verse 27. And we read these words, "And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came to him. In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat, that ye know not all. Therefore said the disciples one to another, If any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon ye bestowed no labour. Other men laboured, and ye have entered into their labours. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence, and went into Galilee." Amen, and we trust that God will bless the reading of his word unto each of our hearts for his own name's sake. In Acts chapter 8, when Philip went down to Samaria, there was at that time what we call a revival. And by that we mean that many precious souls were being saved and born again. We read there in that chapter, in Acts chapter 8, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." But the revival in Samaria, which we read of here in Acts chapter 8, wasn't the first revival to have taken place in Samaria. For here in John chapter 4, after the conversion of this immoral and adulterous woman by the well just outside the city, she went back into the city and she told the men of the city about the Saviour. Now you may say, why did she speak to the men? And it seems that she spoke to the men only. Well, very simply, this woman had been an adulterous woman, and she was despised, I believe, by the women of the city. But the men would listen to her, and she told the men about Christ. And they came out to the Saviour, and many of them believed on Christ because of her words at that particular time. And when Christ tarried with them for the further 2 days, many more believed on him because of his words. And so at that time, there was what we might only call a little revival in Samaria, for many souls were being saved. However, it would seem that after that revival, the people of Samaria, when the Lord had gone on into Galilee, the people of Samaria, they had slipped back into their old ways. They had gone back into the old rut of sin again. And those that are saved, they hadn't gone on very well with the Lord, and they had backslidden. And by the time that Philip had come to them in Acts chapter 8, they had forgotten about God. And perhaps another generation had grown up, and this generation seems to have been far away from God. And so in Samaria, when Philip arrived there, there was those that were backslidden, and there were those that were unsaved. But God was merciful towards them, and here he is. He had already visited them in John chapter 4, but God is giving them another chance, and he's visiting them again in Acts chapter 8. He's given them a second chance, and thank God they took it. For when Philip preached Christ unto them again, they repented of their sin, and they came to the Savior. So that souls were saved. And yes, backsliders were restored. Thank God today we have a God of mercy and a God of compassion. A God who is willing to forbear with his wayward children. A God who is willing to forgive again and again and again. He is a God of second chances and a God of many chances. You know, I wonder today, have you spent your life rejecting him? And yet today, he's still calling to you. You have rejected him so many times, but here he is today. And in the midst of this old virus and everybody's cast down and they're weary and you're wondering about everything, and you can hear that still small voice of God still calling on to you, saying, come on to me. He's calling you to come unto him and to repent of your sin and to be saved. The Lord's giving you another chance. Can I say to you, if that's the case, you take this chance that the Lord's giving you. Take it and call upon the Lord to forgive your sins and to save your soul. Maybe I'm speaking today to the backslider. And once you walk well with God, but you've gone back into the old rut of sin again. But God's giving you another chance. Out of the darkness of this old virus, you have had more time than you wished for. And God's been speaking to you in this time. He's calling you back to himself, friend. Would you not take it? Take this opportunity. Come back to the Lord again. He's a God of second chances and third chances. He's a God of many chances, but he's not a God of endless chances. For he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. He's a God, yes, of second chances and third chances, and he's a God of many chances, but he's not a God of endless chances. He's not always strive with man. Well, listen, friend, today, let me say, whether you're unsaved or backslidden, you need to seize the opportunity when you cannot, to come and get right with God. Maybe you're a backslider, as I've said. Once you walked well with God, but other things have taken his place. Work, other interests, maybe hobbies. Maybe the busyness of life have dethroned the Lord. If so, God offers you another chance this morning. Take it and come back to him while you can. For the Lord will take you back if you'll only come back. He'll restore your soul if you'll only come and repent of your sin and call upon him to forgive you, to save you, or to restore you, whatever the need of your heart might be. But today I want us to consider, as I've said, this little revival in Samaria. Now, firstly, notice God's agent in this revival. Now, I know that the divine agent in every revival is the Holy Ghost. For without the Holy Ghost at work, we can do nothing. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples, they had to wait until the Holy Ghost came. They knew that if they went out before Pentecost, if they went out into the streets of Jerusalem, they could preach the same message, but they'd accomplish nothing. They had to wait, and they did wait until the Holy Ghost came. And then they went out and they preached Christ. And in one day, about 3,000 souls were saved. That was the working of the divine agent, which is the Holy Spirit. But let me say this, God has his human agents in revival as well. On the day of Pentecost, it was Peter who preached in that great revival in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 8, it was Philip who preached in that revival down in Samaria. But here in John chapter 4, it was the most unlikely person in the city whom God used. Of course, he changed her before he used her. But God used this newly saved, immoral woman. God had forgiven her for her sin. Her sins, they were under the blood. You know, when God says he forgives us, he casts our sins and behind his back. They're cast into the depths of the sea. He'll remember them no more. That's the promises of God. Here's this woman, this immoral, adulterous woman. She's come out of the well. She's met Christ. She's been saved. Her sins are forgiven, and immediately the Lord begins to use her as an agent of revival in Samaria. Her past was past with God, and God used her to spread the gospel in the city among the men and to the salvation of precious souls. You know, it's sad to think that God had to use this woman to preach in Samaria. And it's sad to think that God couldn't use his disciples instead of this woman. And the reason he couldn't use the disciples was their bitterness and their prejudices against the Samaritans. You see, the Jews and the Samaritans had nothing to do with each other. All the disciples, they went into the city to buy the things that were needed. But God couldn't use them to preach the gospel in the city. You see, whenever Christ was speaking with this woman at the well, when they came back, they marveled that he talked with the woman. Oh, they knew that she was an adulterous woman, but probably more so they marveled because she was a Samaritan. And God couldn't use these disciples at this particular time to do this particular work because of their prejudices and their bitterness. No, child of God, I wonder, could God use you as an agent in revival? Or is your heart full of bitternesses and prejudices? All I know is that we learn that we've come through many troubles. And those troubles caused a lot of bitterness and a lot of prejudices that still linger on in the hearts of too many. And too many Christians are still affected. And that is one of the reasons maybe why God can't use them in the outreach of the gospel. But maybe on a personal level, you're bearing an old grudge in your heart against someone who maybe done you wrong sometime. It could be years ago, but you've kept on that old grudge in your heart. And God can't use you. That's you. And sadly, there are many believers who are full of grudges and bitternesses. But if that's you, listen, friend, let it go. Let it go. Leave it with the Lord. For if you don't, those prejudices and that bitterness that you're harboring in your heart and in your life, it will destroy you spiritually. And it will rob you day and daily of the joy of your salvation. You know why some Christians are so miserable? Because there's an old grudge in their hearts. There's a bitterness there that should have been long gone. And that bitterness, that grudge will rob you of the joy of your salvation. More than that, it will render you useless and unusable in the Lord's work. On the other hand, maybe you think that the Lord couldn't use you. You say, but I'm just an ordinary person. I have no education. I have no talents, friend. You don't need education and talents to serve the Lord. All you need to be is saved and surrendered unto the Lord. You know, there's many. And he's the one that's saved, but they've never surrendered their life. I've sang that hymn many times. I surrender all. I surrender all. And you know they're saved, but they would hardly give the Lord the Lord's day evening. They sing the hymn, I surrender all, but they wouldn't give the Lord the evening of his day. They take it for themselves to do whatever they want. Well, listen, unless we're saved and surrendered completely unto the Lord, we're still unusable in his service. There was God's agent in this revival. You know, I wonder if revival was to come, could God use you? But then secondly, notice God's message in this revival. After this immoral woman was saved, she didn't know very much of the Bible. She didn't know anything about theology. But she knew this, that Christ had changed her life. That's all she needed to know. And after this immoral woman was saved, she left her water pot. Remember when Nicodemus was saved by the wayside, he cast away his garment when the Lord called him. He cast away his garment and he came to Christ. And here's this woman, and she's leaving her water pot. Maybe you need to leave someone behind. Maybe you need to leave something behind if you're going to serve the Lord. This woman, if she was going to serve the Lord, she left her water pot behind. And she hurried back as she could into the city. Now, I want you to notice what she said to the men of that place. Remember, the women in this city? There were no friends of this woman. They despised her because of her adulterous life. But notice what this woman said to the men. She said, "Come, see a man. See a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She knew this much, that Messiah was going to come. But she didn't know an awful lot more about the scriptures. But she knew that Messiah was going to come. She knew that Christ was going to come. And whenever she met Christ, she knew, "Is not this the Christ?" Now I want you to notice this, that the message of this revival, it focused on Christ alone, which had never mentioned the disciples. And you know, friends, I want you to get your eyes off God's servants, on Christians called and so-called. Take your eyes off them. Focus on Christ. She focused on Christ. And the message of this revival was all about Christ. It was Christ alone. When she spoke to the men of that city, she didn't mention the disciples. She didn't mention a church. She didn't mention a denomination or an organization. She didn't speak of ceremony. There was no ceremonies took place at the well when she was saved. She wasn't baptized. She wasn't confirmed. She hadn't taken communion, but she was still saved. She was like the dying thief upon the cross that cried out unto the Lord, "Lord, remember me." Listen, friend, there was no ceremony there. There was no church mentioned. There was no denomination mentioned. There was no congregation or organization mentioned. He was never baptized. He was never confirmed. He had never taken communion. But yet the Lord said to them, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And this woman, she mentioned none of these things. Didn't mention another man. Never spoke of another person. Never mentioned any of the saints. Never spoke of Mary and Joseph. Her message, and the message of this revival, was Christ. Come see a man. Is not this the Christ? Notice something else about this woman. She didn't mention or talk about the prejudices of the disciples, who didn't even speak to her, but shunned her. Whenever they came out, they marveled that Christ talked with her. But they hadn't talked to her. But she never mentioned anything about the disciples. You know, people talk about Christians, did this and they did that. This woman, she never mentioned any of the disciples. She never said, "Oh, them disciples, they never spoke to me." Why? You know why she didn't mention those? She was focused on Christ. And let me say, folks, if you're focused on Christ, you're not but focused on any of the believers. She didn't allow the prejudiced disciples to stop her speaking about her master now, about her Savior. She told the people about Christ. She told the people about the Savior. She told the people about what the Savior had done for her and how the Lord had changed her life. I tell you today, the only one that you need to focus on, for the only one who can save you is Christ. It wasn't Christ and good works for this woman. It's by grace that we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This woman had learned that before it was even written. You know, salvation is not Christ and good works. It's not Christ and some ceremony or sacrament. She hadn't received any. It's not Christ and some particular church. Salvation is through Christ alone and by faith alone. That was the message of the revival in Samaria in John chapter 4. It's still the message of the gospel today. Christ and Christ alone. This woman told the people, come see a man. Of course, we know he was the God-man. He was God manifest in the flesh. She literally told them, come see a man, come to Christ. And that day it seems that many of them did, and they were saved. And that's all that I ask you to do today. If you're not saved, my message to you today is the message of this woman, to the men of this city. Come see a man. And repent of your sin. And ask him to save you. To forgive your sins. To save your soul. John chapter 6 verse 37. The Savior himself said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You say, can I come with all my sin? This woman came with all her sin. She had had five husbands and she was currently living with a man who wasn't her husband. And she came to Christ. Can you come with all your sin? Of course you can. He says, him that cometh unto me, I'll not cast you out, no matter how much your sin is, no matter what your sin is, I'll not cast you out. Rather, he says in Matthew 11, the verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Friend, let me ask you today, will you come and see a man? Will you come by faith to Christ and be saved? You know, we've entered into the month of December. People are already have their decorations up for a while and for Christmas. But it reminds us, remember how the night that Christ was born, the shepherds came. Like this woman, they left all they had in the hills and they came to Christ. This woman left her water pot, the shepherds left their sheep, they came to Christ. They made haste. Will they come? They came, will you come? At a later time, the wise men, they left their homes away out there. They made their way to Christ. Will you make your way to Christ today? The message of this revival was, come see a man. Come to Christ. There was the agent of this revival. There was the message of this revival. But then we notice the duration of this revival. After the woman told the men about Christ, many of them believed. And they came to Christ and asked him to tarry with them. Verse 39, we read that many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all things that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own words. There were those that believed because of the words of this woman. Now, many more believed because of his words. But I want you to notice this, that they asked him, they besought him, that he would tarry with them, and he abode with them 2 more days. It reminds me of Luke chapter 8 and the verse 37. And remember how Christ had cast the legion of the devils out of the man and into the swine, and the swine nailed down a steep place and were choked in the water. in the sea. And whenever the people realized what had done, you know what they did? They came out to Christ. And they besought him that he would leave them. And he did. Verse 37 of Luke chapter 8 we read, "Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear and went up into the ship and returned back again." He went up into the ship and returned back again. They besought him to depart. But here they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he did. But notice the duration. It was only for 2 days. It only for 2 days for Christ had to go and preach in other cities. But in those 2 days, many more people came to Christ. Their lives were changed, their souls were saved, saved and pardoned from sin and its condemnation in hell. But after 2 days in Samaria, the Lord moved on into another place to preach the gospel to another people. That leads me back, as I come to a close of the message today, that leads me back to my first thought at the beginning of the message. The Lord will not always be near for you to get saved. His Spirit will not always strive with you. And friend, you could reject the Lord. You could wait too long. Or you could reject the Lord once too often. And he might leave you in your sin. And he might leave you condemned to a lost eternity. Friend, you could reject Christ too often. Unsaved friend, you could reject Christ too often. And your soul could be lost for all eternity. Backslider, you could turn him away once too often and be left to live the rest of your days in misery and sorrow of a backslider's life. He is a God of many chances. But I want you to remember this and take good note of it. He's not a God of endless chances. And so today, whether you're unsaved or backslidden, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but rather be like these men of the city of Samaria. Come to Christ. Turn away from your sin. Call upon the Lord to forgive you. Whatever the need of your heart is, call upon him to save you or to restore you. Thank God he'll hear your cry. He'll answer your prayer. Thank God he'll meet your need. And he'll give you a life that's worth a living. Let's just close our meeting today in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy help and for thy presence. Bless thy word now to every heart. While the voice of this preacher is silent, pray that thy Holy Spirit would speak on. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with us all. For we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you again, folks. Take care, and God bless throughout this day.